Well, tonight I want to talk to you from the Bible, from a couple of texts. So as you know, on a Sunday morning we go expositionally, which basically means we submit ourselves. The sermon submits itself to the shape, tone, and structure of the actual biblical text. Wednesday nights is an opportunity to kind of go topically through different things. So things that might come up amongst our elders or things that might come up in my own mind of, man, it'd be really great to address that. And tonight what I want to address is a biblical definition of a missionary. So what is a biblical missionary? When many people hear the word missionary, they picture someone who's very sincere, even sacrificial, and even courageous, willing to travel far from home. We have those heroes in our mind, those who went to China before it was cool, those who went to South Africa knowing that they were probably going to die by going there, those who went from Europe to the Americas in order to evangelize, or even those who go back to Europe in order to evangelize. And in one sense, that picture is not wrong of sincerity, sacrificial living, courage, and we should thank God for the zeal that he places in people's lives to go after life with great gusto. We should thank God for every Christian who wants to go forward in this way. But the real question is not simply what do we admire about those people, but the real question is what does the Bible describe as a biblical missionary? So what's a biblical missionary? And that matters because if we define missionary work loosely or sentimentally, then we may end up celebrating the wrong things. If we define missionary work pragmatically, then we might actually be supporting the wrong person or the wrong people and encouraging young men to activity that is religious but is truly not prescribed by the Bible. Now, churches should send workers across significant barriers for the work of making disciples and establishing churches. So when I think about missions versus other things, missions is someone going across a barrier or across a boundary. Now that could be language, that could be nation, that could be economic, but they go across that boundary in order to preach the gospel, in order to evangelize. And evangelism is simply preaching the gospel. So I want to press three burdens on us tonight. First, what a biblical missionary is. Second, why we should avoid unbiblical missionaries. And then third, how our church can support missionaries and promote men becoming them. So first, biblical missionary. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13, all the way to the right, right after the Gospels. Acts 13, and right off the beginning in verse 2. Acts 13. Okay, Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now, notice how Barnabas in this passage and Saul are not self-appointed men. They didn't go up and say, "God has called me to do this, and so I want to do this, and I want you to support me in this." They're not freelancers either, not just unknowingly going off and doing whatever they want. They're not entrepreneurial Christians who simply inform the church of a plan that they've already decided on. No, the church that is gathered, the church that is worshiping, the church is here shown as fasting for them and praying for them. And there the Spirit of God directs the church to set these men apart. Then the church lays hands on them and sends them off. This means that a missionary is, in the most biblical sense, a church-sent laborer. So he's not merely a Christian with passion. Every Christian should have passion. He's not merely a Christian who shares his faith. Every Christian, all of us, should share our faith. A missionary is someone whose life and doctrine, usefulness, and calling have been recognized by that person's church, and who is then sent out by that church for gospel labor. So now turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a little bit to the right. Romans 10, my kid just said okay from the balcony. It's better than what else could be said. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So you see how these texts kind of connect here. The idea that someone is longing to be sent, and then the idea that a church in particular is actually sending someone. So the biblical missionary is a sent herald of the gospel. And that herald is a word that you and I kind of never use. I jokingly use it with my pastor friends, you know, hey brothers, what are you going to herald this morning in the gathering of the saints? You know, I'll tell it to Brooke of like, I'm off to herald the gospel or whatever. We don't think about missionaries going into an unreached place in order to herald the good news, but that's what they're called to do. He goes because Christ must be preached. He goes because sinners cannot believe in Christ that they have not heard of. He goes because the church of Jesus Christ does not hoard the gospel, but actually sends it to other people. And what's the aim of the work? You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 28, the aim of the work of a missionary is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Where the aim is not merely travel or meeting new people or building up a culture in that other area, but rather it's a place where Christ's gospel is proclaimed. So it's not service projects. It's not humanitarian relief. Those things certainly have their place. Good people should do good things to people regardless of whether they're good. But the missionary task at its center is the preaching of Christ so that disciples are made. And because disciples are baptized and taught, the missionary aim is not only individual conversions, but actually gathered churches. So this is why Acts 14 matters so much. Paul and Barnabas preach the gospel, make disciples, and appoint elders in the churches. That's the pattern. Now, so the simple definition would be a biblical missionary is a church-sent laborer who goes with the gospel of Christ to make disciples and help establish healthy churches, often across meaningful barriers of culture or geography or language. I know it's a long definition, but basically a missionary is one who goes and preaches the gospel for the sake of building or making disciples and building up churches across a barrier. Now, second, so that's what a missionary is. Second, why should we avoid unbiblical missionaries? So a lot of missionaries I would imagine you might have heard of or heard about or even been a part of, and it becomes difficult when you kind of recognize that person actually isn't either a qualified missionary or a capable missionary or even an accountable missionary to other people. They're just out there doing something, and it feels weird to avoid them. It feels weird to stop giving to them or even to correct them. But why should we avoid unbiblical missionaries? And that sounds severe, but the church is called to be discerning with its gospel. Not every person is called to be a missionary. Not every person called a missionary is doing biblical missions. So you and I should avoid unbiblical missionaries because some are unaccountable. That's kind of the first reason. Why should we avoid unbiblical missionaries? Because they're accountable. They're making themselves known as not being account to anyone. And you might think, that's really harsh. You know, they're in a desperate area who needs the gospel. Well, aren't you and I in a desperate area? In Enid, who desperately needs to hear the gospel. And yet, what do we do in church membership? We make ourselves accountable to other Christians. We live under the authority of the elders who are preaching the word. And when we stray away or whatever, what happens there? Well, hopefully we're held accountable in love by other Christians. Acts 13 shows that missionaries come from the church and are sent by the church. So if a man has no meaningful relationship to a faithful church, no elders who know him, no body of believers who can testify of his character or hold him accountable, no pattern of submission, then that is not a minor flaw. It's actually a serious warning sign where the local church is the most natural body to commission a missionary because it knows his character and his competence. We should also avoid unbiblical missionaries because some are unsound doctrinally. So secondly, why should we avoid unbiblical missionaries? Because they're unsound. Meaning, let me put it this way. A missionary might go into an area and do a ton of activities that bring people into a gathering spot. You know, it might be a food pantry, it might be a soccer clinic, it might be a medical clinic, it might be all kinds of things that bring people in. And that's good. Like, I would like the idea of me talking to the register lady at Dollar General, and I hope that I'm nice in such a way to where she says something, and I say, do you go to church anywhere? Would you like to go to Crosspoint Church? That's all good stuff. But then what I'm talking about with unsound doctrine is once they come in the room, we actually don't trust them to talk about the Bible well. They can't do it. Now, Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, in terms of education, so let's get nitty-gritty. The state of Oklahoma allegedly is bad with education. Okay, let's just start from there. So what Oklahoma's been doing is they've been hiring teachers who are technically unqualified because they don't have a degree in education or they don't even have a degree in that area that they're teaching. So if I'm going in algebra and I'm learning from someone who can't teach math, you as a parent would go, we need to change teachers, we need to change schools, or we need to homeschool and figure this thing out. You don't want to put your kid in a classroom. Being in a classroom's great. I was in a classroom for a long time. But then you realize that the teacher who's teaching math can't do math. And you wouldn't trust your kid to learn math from them. Otherwise, you know your kid's going to do great at not doing math well. So in the same way, we should avoid unbiblical missionaries because some are unsound. A missionary must know the gospel clearly. He must hold fast to sound doctrine. He must not be vague where scripture is clear. He must carry the message of Christ and understand the message of Christ's teaching. A confused missionary does not bless the nations. A confused missionary confuses the nations. Third, is that my kid? No, oh, sorry. I don't mean that against you. Cough as much as you want. But I was like, Brooke, get him out. All right, and thirdly, we should avoid unbiblical missionaries because they're misdirected. So not only unaccountable, not only unsound doctrine, but misdirected. They should be active and impressive and busy, but their aim is not distinctly Christian in the New Testament sense. We've got to run away from those. If the gospel isn't central to their life and their purpose of people becoming a disciple and building up churches, if the disciple making is not central to their lifestyle, if the establishment of churches is not central, then something has gone badly wrong. None of us would know about Paul except for his preaching of the gospel and establishing churches. If he was a great baseball coach, we wouldn't know about him. I've told you all before, maybe years ago, but when I was in Charlottesville, we had a long-term missionary come back to the church, so we gave him a microphone. And I think he'd been sent out by the church maybe 20 years before that. And I was new at the church, didn't really know what to do. And we gave him the microphone, and he talked about the things he was doing in Eastern Europe. And I was like, great, okay, how can we pray for you? Like, what are big things that we can pray for? And he said, pray that the baseball field that I help coach on would grow grass, because oftentimes the winter is harsh, and, you know, that's how we try to bring people together is through baseball, and that we would have grass on the baseball field. And immature me, wasn't my best moment, I said in a microphone under recording, well, we're not going to pray for that. I don't like that I said that. I wish I had said something else, but I wish I had said something like, well, what can we pray for God to do in your people's midst? Could we bring them together? Could you clarify the church to where, if the biggest thing this missionary has in mind of God actually saving souls from hell forever is grass, which, to be clear, will burn, then what are we doing? Missions cannot be reduced to vague influence, social uplift, or even generic kindness. The nations do not merely need our benevolence. They need Christ. So the church shouldn't support missionaries thoughtlessly. We should be warm-hearted. We should be generous. We should give people the benefit of the doubt. We should encourage those who do want to go to the ends of the earth and fuel them with attention and prayer and love. But we also need to ask, is this person sound? Is this person being sent by God? Is this person accountable? Is his aim biblical? Does he understand what the church is? Now, third, big point third, this is where I'm going to end. How can our church support missionaries and promote men becoming them? I think this is the hardest thing. We all can clarify what a missionary is. We can all say, don't do that. I feel like in my life, it is very easy for me to point out mistakes, whether practically or with people. But what about the positive? How can our church support missionaries and promote men becoming them? Well, listen to 3 John. You don't have to turn there, but 3 John. You will do well to send them on a journey in a manner worthy of God. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that they may be fellow workers for the truth. And the phrase there that's incredible is, fellow workers for the truth. When a church prays for, gives to, knows, encourages, and sends faithful missionaries, it becomes a partner in the gospel advance. We're not spectators. We're actually fellow workers. So we should support missionaries by praying specifically for them. We should pray for their holiness, their boldness, their endurance, family strength, language learning, open doors, and the planting of healthy churches. And we should support missionaries by giving generously to them. If we say the gospel is precious, then we should put our money behind its spread. We should support missionaries by knowing them personally, not just names on a paper, but actually real men, real families, real doctrine, real labor, real needs. I'm actually amazed at how quickly some missionaries get back to me in texting them. And I don't think it's from a position of power, because I've been in positions of non-power before. And you might, I texted a buddy who was over in North Africa, Morocco. And man, I didn't know him, but he texted me back within like 4 minutes in Morocco. And all that, and we have a texting relationship now. Because these are real people who, we want them to need our prayers. We want them to go to the ends of the earth. And you all as members don't need to rely on elders like me to actually be the middleman in saying, how can I pray for you? How's your wife doing? Is your kid annoying? Is there anyone that you've been witnessing to that I can pray for by name that would open up a door? Do you go to the same coffee shop every Tuesday to where I can say, God, help someone come to that coffee shop on a Tuesday and just hear the gospel from this person? And they love that. Whether you're lowly or mighty in stature, they love that because they know that they're not in it alone and they don't want to be reminded how lonely they are. We should promote men becoming missionaries by discipling men deeply in the local church. Missionaries don't appear out of nowhere. Churches raise up missionaries. Churches test them. Churches train them. Churches send them. That means we should look for men among us who are godly and teachable and doctrinally sound and evangelistically earnest and already useful. A man should not become a missionary because he wants the adventure, but he should become a missionary because Christ has gripped him and the church has recognized him and the word is in him. You think of Antioch, who sent Barnabas and Saul, those mighty men. That was costly to that church. They were not sending leftovers. They were sending faithful men, and perhaps one of the clearest signs of a healthy church is not that it talks about missions with admiration, but that it's willing to raise up and send some of its best for Christ's sake. So my appeal to all of us is that we would pray to be that kind of church, that we wouldn't use the word missionary casually, that we would define it biblically and let us avoid unbiblical missionaries, that we would support faithful ones and pray that God would raise up from among us men who love Christ, who know the gospel and submit to his church and are willing to go wherever he sends. I'm reminded often of, there are like several men in my life, and they're acquaintances at best. And a lot of them came from a insignificant, they were all influenced by an insignificant, smaller church, no-name pastor in North Carolina. Wasn't even the cool college church. But all of these guys who, I could say their names and you might go, oh, I think I've heard of that person before. Oh, his books in the bookstall, that kind of thing. But there's like literally five guys who are now all in their 60s who all came from this random place. And we often think that if we were a city center or a bigger church or had bigger finances, then we could send out our mighty men and reach the ends of the earth. But friends, we're remembering we need to remember what Christ has in store for all of us. Those who are brought low, he's going to raise up. Because when churches send faithful men with the gospel of Christ Jesus, it is Christ who is honored, sinners who are gathered, churches who are planted, and the truth marches forward. Let me pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for what your word is clear on, and we love you for it. We pray that we would be people who long to support, long to pray for, long to care for those who are going to the ends of the earth to spread your gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.